500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm. We're still $30,000 away from meeting our goal of $93,000. And with your support right now, we can do it. Call right now, 877-500-5266. Again, folks, these are your airwaves. These are my airwaves. I'm claiming them. Are you claiming them? I am giving monthly here to KBOO. It is your time now to do the same. 877-500-5266. Your contribution can be as small or as big as you can afford it. It doesn't matter how much you donate or how you donate. What matters is that you do it now. Call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast provided by Trader Joe's, a grocery chain open daily from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Lunch provided by Corbett Fish House, located at 5901 Southwest Corbett Avenue. Corbett Fish House serves seafood dishes open from lunch to dinner. Dinner provided by Bocce's on 7th, located at 1728 Southeast 7th Avenue, open Wednesday through Sunday from 4 to 9. Bocce's serves a full Italian menu. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor It Still Takes a Village, the second annual benefit concert for Tanzania, on Sunday, September 23rd at 5 p.m. at Sabad House in Portland. It Still Takes a Village will feature music by the Palante Latin Jazz Quintet, food by Black Star Grill, dancing, drinks, and more to support the work of the Rafiki Village Project. Its mission is to improve health, increase literacy, and promote economic prosperity in Tanzanian villages. Again, that's It Still Takes a Village, the second annual benefit concert for Tanzania, on Sunday, September 23rd at 5 p.m. at Sabad House, 3185 Northeast Regents Drive in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM. The time is 7:01.
As these days go thought life would end up like this. Sun are close, seeing things the naked eye might miss.
Yo, hold on. Let me check and see if the mic check 1, 2 is on.
Oh, yeah. I hear the mics, man.
Can you hear?
I hear the mics.
We're working?
We working today.
Oh, yep. The volume. Wait, Dale, did we get a new thing in here? Or did you just label it with blue now?
We changed the
label. Oh, okay. So it seems brand new, spanking new. We're back. Jalen took over for me last week. I don't know where Jalen and Victor are right now, but Aron is in the building.
It's what it do, people?
What it do?
Bruh. I'm back home.
Yeah, he's home and he's repping. You
yes,
feel me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Bruh, so, a lot of stuff has happened since we've. I don't know if they addressed it last week, but Mac Miller passed away.
I know, man. That one hit me hard, man.
So how'd it go? I mean, like, break down to me just kind of, you know, the passing.
So for me, you know, I've been a fan of Mac Miller for a while now. I was first introduced to him by one of my roommates in college. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've always thought his music was fun. I actually had a couple of his songs that I used to run to, you know. So, mm-hmm. like, he always was this fun, upbeat guy.
Yeah.
He was very involved in the sports industry. You know, he's into fashion. I know he dated a famous musician as well for a while.
Right.
And I think that breakup, amongst other issues, you know, and you know, there's this culture of like doing lean and coke and all of that when mm-hmm. it's, you know, so I think it was something that, you know, he was battling with for a while. I think that, you know, a lot of artists are actually battling with those addictions and whatnot.
What do you think it is about, you know, drug culture that just, I've never done,
yeah.
you know, pills or anything like that, but what do you think it is? It's just that people are getting away from their actual selves or what?
Yeah, I think it's like a quick escape for people, you know, especially if you think about like celebrities, they don't have no private life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so like everything you do is critiqued and scrutinized by people. 24/7, like at a certain point, like you reach a breaking point, and then eventually you just try to escape, you know.
Nah,
and,
true.
And a lot of them, you know, sometimes it even could start as something fun, and you know, it could what would you say the right word is, it could just escalate into something. I mean, I don't think he did it with the intention of like
killing himself,
but I think it's just that this idea that, you know, you always want something stronger in order to, you know, escape.
Absolutely.
Because what sucks is as soon as you come down from that high, or, you know, you sober up, like, those problems are still there.
Yeah,
and,
man.
And then, you know.
Sick.
And so I don't know if he had the right support systems and the you know, even the, just, you know, the mechanisms you need to just cope with, you know, stress in a healthy manner.
Absolutely.
You know? And I think that just kind of escalated and, you know, unfortunately led to his early demise.
I was gonna ask. I was listening to this podcast with Joe Budden, mm-hmm. and he was saying how, like, why doesn't Wale get the type of shine that a J. Cole or Kendrick, hold on, let me get back to it, doesn't get, you know? And he said that Wale is too human.
Mm-hmm.
And Wale is too human because he's, you know, going back and forth with fans. He talks about his emotions. And he was almost kind of saying how Cole and Kendrick, you know, Jay-Z, it's like they don't do interviews because they say, like, the less you talk, the smarter you seem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they stay out of the media, like, you know, whether that's Twitter or Instagram, whatever. You know, they're not on social media. And it's kind of just like Wale just kind of put – he's. It's like fans want you to be – like either a celebrity, but they don't want to feel like they could actually touch you,
right?
Which is like, but I mean, it feels like you were gonna say something and touch on that.
Yeah, know? Like that's something I always like recognized, and that's something I tell my friends all the time. Like I feel like Wale should be up there with J. Cole and Kendrick. I think that, you know, and what's up, fellas? The fellas just made it into the. You know, they made it home.
Dumb late. 7:10 and they're dumb late.
You already know who's driving.
Yeah. Hey. Both would have been late regardless. Hey. Oh, can we hear him?
I don't. Can you guys hear him?
Hold on. Let me get Victor. What color is yours?
Red.
Victor is red.
That's the headphone.
Violets are blue. So I'm playing.
Whatever. All
right, you might
have
Jalen.
Come here, buddy.
So, basically, to answer your question, I think that, you know, back in the day, you admired somebody, you had to like wait to see him at a concert, mm-hmm. or like you know, you would hear through word of mouth that that's their studio or their hangout, you know, mm-hmm. and people used to go there and wait for hours, sometimes days, to get him. Right. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, everything through social media. It's easier to access an artist even when they're not there, right? Like you see what they're doing through their Snap or mm-hmm. their Instagram. You see where they're going and their hangouts and whatnot. And then on top of that, like, you know, like I feel like there should be a limit to how much fans get of an artist, right? Because like these people deserve a private life as well, you know?
Yeah.
For somebody like Wale, he is very human. He's somebody who engages his, you know, fans, and like, you know, and if people have some criticism, he replies to it, you know, and there is that, you know, to just like everything, there's positives and negatives to that, right? Because today's media tend to always like, and when I say media, I just mean like, you know, tabloids and paparazzis and things like that. They tend to focus on one thing and blow it up as if it is the entire situation, you know, and sometimes like you really gotta like, whether it's like going back and listening to a whole album or what somebody said in order to get the actual context rather than just to follow the first thing you see in the headline, mm-hmm. which is what we tend to do in today's society.
Yeah, man.
Unfortunately, you know?
Like, I don't know if y'all listen to Joe Budden's, like, I think it's called State of the Culture, mm-hmm. and it's with Remy Ma, Jinx, and another lady. But, yeah, and it's just like, Joe Budden was saying how Wale is almost like too human. You know, that's why nobody gives him the real credit that he deserves, because it's like, you know, he's going back and forth with fans, he's emotional, but it's like he was comparing him to like Cole and Kendrick, and Cole and Kendrick, in a way, like they choose to not do interviews because they say, like, if you know, if you don't do interviews, you know, it makes you seem smarter, because you know, the less you talk, the smarter you seem, mm-hmm. you know. So it was just like, why Cole, Kendrick, Big Sean, almost like, and Wale, they all came up the same, but it's like Wale doesn't get the same amount of respect, you know?
Yeah.
What's y'all thoughts
on Wale? I'm gonna go first because Victor got a lot to say, you know. But I mean, yeah, I remember back in high school when they were coming up, like all three of them.
Yeah.
Like I remember looking at all three of them, like these are like the three.
Yeah.
Like, well, best rappers like right now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, I mean, I don't, you know me, I don't follow anything beyond the music, really. Mm-hmm. I don't keep up with a lot of what goes on inside of, like, outside of the music and any scandals or, like, whatever, like, Wale interviews is going on. Mm-hmm. I'm not on Twitter, but just aside from that, I mean, I just noticed, like, a difference in Wale's music as time went on. Like, the last album I really liked and listened to was...
Which one was that?
That album, About Nothing.
Yeah, that was real good.
Yeah, this most recent one that came out.
I heard it was good.
It was good.
Feature with J. Cole.
It was good.
I heard it was good. Yeah. J. Cole's killing these features.
Has been on repeat. Do a mic check real quick.
Mic check. No. I don't think it's coming through. Yeah, classic.
Vickers don't ever work.
But no, man, I was saying, like, it was just different. Like, I feel like he fell off for a little bit. Like, J. Cole definitely took a longer break, but I feel like he worked himself up to a point and had that, like, platinum album. Where he was able to take that break, because that when you build up that hype, you could do something like that. Versus Wale, didn't necessarily achieve that, mm-hmm. and I feel like what happened was he felt like he should have been there, so he took that long break. Yeah. I don't know if it was intentional or not. I know he like was trying to focus on his family and stuff like that, whatever. Yeah. Which, you know, all up to him, like family first over work, you know. But you can't be mad at the end of the day if that's the decision you made and that's how it played out. Like, yeah. That's just how it is. Like, there's an equation to it. Like, it's not like we just hate Wale because he's Wale.
It's
like,
the industry, you know.
You know, yeah. It's how it works. At the end of the day, it's a business, and you got to play your cards right and make your moves right, or else you're going to be just sobbing, being a sore loser, I guess. And, like, that's no disrespect to Wale. Like, I still love Wale. I got love for him. I'm just saying, like, I've heard a lot of, like, negativity around his name, and, like, I'm not surprised about it because, like, I could see where it's coming from, like, in terms of, like, how he just became he kind of became recluse for a little bit, and then, like, it started, you know, come back a little bit. But
before we let Victor speak, I'm gonna let Dale speak.
Wow, that was like a great introduction, Tim. Thank you. Folks, this is the Membership Drive, and we are right now asking you to call 877-500-5266 to show your support for Comeback Culture Radio, for your community radio station. There's only 4 days left for you to do so, so now is your time. We are $30,000 away still from our goal. We're trying to raise $93,000 this fall drive. And we can do it with that with you. We cannot do it without you. This is your community radio station. These are your airwaves. And it is time for all of us to claim those airwaves. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. You can also go online to kboo.fm and donate this way. Also, on your mobile phone, you may have the KBOO app, and you can donate this way as well. Or maybe you want to come and meet the folks of Combined Culture Radio, and you're just driving around right now, and maybe you can just come on by 20 Southeast 8th Avenue and buzz in, and we'll let you in, and we'll give you a tour, see what's going on, see what you're paying for, meet the folks that are actually having the conversations that you listen to on a weekly basis. Combined Culture Radio, they come here every week with the sharpest commentary on culture, on what is happening, and you love it. You are really looking for that kind of insight, and KBOO is the only place that gives you that insight. 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266 and or kboo.fm. A few folks have called right before Combat Culture Radio started, and I'm about to grab their names and thank them, because this is one of the things that we do. We want to let you all know I am Dell, and I am a human being. I am a community member. I am your neighbor, and I know you're my neighbor too. And when you call and make that contribution, it makes our neighborhood stronger. It makes our community stronger. KBOO has been around for 50 years, and only 50 years because you have made it happen. If you had not been there, it would not be around. And this is our collective effort. This is our collective jewel, and we need to preserve it and protect it. And the way that we do that is by all sharing a piece of our financial wealth. This is how we've made it happen for 50 years. Collectively, collectively bringing our money together to make KBOO a reality. We can continue to do it. Now is your turn, your chance to join into this experiment. 877-500-5266. If you are not yet a member, what a better moment than to join now. Become a part of the KBOO family. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. You can also go onto the mobile app and donate this way, or you can come and see us. Again, there's only 4 days left in this drive and $30,000 to go. You can help us make that happen, but only if you call right now. These are your airwaves, folks. It is important that we claim them. Airwaves, radio was created for our people, for all of us to be able to share information. When you tune into radio, that is rarely what you hear, unless it is KBOO. KBOO is your community radio. It is yours. And here it is, Jim. Thank you, Jim, from Southeast Portland for donating. And I will continue to announce folks next. I don't have a bell here, otherwise I'll be ringing the bell. I'll ring the bell for you, Jim, in just a little bit. Folks, we're going to go back to Combined Culture Radio. This is your community radio station. Call 877-500-5266 right now. Thanks, Mike, for the bell.
Back, and we're back, and we're back. Victor, go yes, ahead. Sir. Talk about Wale.
Wale. I'm a fan of Wale. I always have been. A lot of people have stopped being fans of him because of his antics on social media. But like you guys were saying earlier, you know, being like too human, you know, is, and unfortunately, I don't think he really does anymore. I think he kind of learned from his lesson. I don't think he feeds into the negativity and what people say on social media anymore. Like, I see a lot of times now, if he's ever like quoting a tweet or anything, it's either about his music or how people feel like he should be more respected, and he'll agree with it. A thing with, like, kind of piggybacking off what Jalen was saying, like with him taking the break and everything. During that time, he was also on his label and was very unhappy. And that's why he's released these three EPs this year, because in a way it's like a celebration of being off of the label and now feeling like he can really do whatever he wants to do. And I mean, every EP has been heat. You know, I would still, as an artist, I would still put him up there with J. Cole and Kendrick, because I mean, he's lyrically talented. Like, you can't deny the talent. And unfortunately, people do, when they think of Wale, they think of him rather than his music, and that's where the issue lies. You know, it's the person himself and not his music. I feel like his catalog is amazing as well. I mean, He's had his club hits. He's had his personal vulnerable songs. He's had the real lyrical songs. He's able to go, I feel like, bar for bar with almost any rapper in the game.
Yeah, because he'll call out Cole.
Yeah, exactly. And then like his when he had that rebuttal to False Prophets.
Yeah, it was raw.
That was clean. And that was kind of like, I think that was like at the very beginning of the year. Or like,
I don't even know if that was the beginning. That was last year.
That was last year. But he had been quiet for a while, and he had released that. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think, not only was that a rebuttal to what Cole was saying, but then also like a self-realization for him and where he's been the past couple of years. Because it was kind of like, oh, you're right, Cole. Like, you my brother. Which everything you're saying is true. I really do need to get it together and be that artist that I was. Mm-hmm. And also the artist that he was meant to be and that people thought he was going to be. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's kind of like with the art, all the artists that got called out on Control. Mm-hmm. From Kendrick's verse.
Yeah.
All those artists stepped up. Every single one except J Electronica. But yeah. So like, yeah, every single artist has stepped up since that verse in 2013. So yeah, I think that was just like a like affirmation, you know. So I think Wale, I don't think he can get back to like that top tier of like being considered by the masses, you know, mm-hmm. By the mass, mm-hmm. by the masses. Yeah, there we go. because just of the hole he's dug himself in, and in the industry like that, like it's hard to dig yourself out unless you rebrand. And there's a lot to it. There's a lot to it.
It's not. It's not. The everyone knows the only this will beat out any type of conflict again. If he makes just like a few consistent club bangers, everything would be forgiven. Like just one of them earworm songs that just like stick in your ear. I don't think he ever will do that. Just because like he doesn't want to. No. But if he honestly just went that route, like if he just made a project with like just a few of them on it, and then the rest was just like actual quality content stuff, you know, kind of like a Drake album. If he did something like a Drake album, he I think he could win people's hearts back. But that, I don't know if that'd be the right way to do it, you know. But that's my opinion on that. But no, I definitely think he for sure will get like respect from like the people who pay attention to conscious rap, you know, and stuff like that. Didn't you say too, Victor, that like even like his hometown, like the DMV area, was like not even messing with him, like they disowned him.
It's
that's so shady when your hometown
is. Yeah, a lot of people there don't really care for Wale anymore, because they in a way he had turned his back on him, on like some people, whatever, and like they already don't have that many artists that like come out like that, you know. So of course they take offense to it. But I've always just heard, when I was over there, I always heard stories about how he was just real shady, and that's just mm-hmm. that's just how he is. But I mean, he still has a bunch of events in DC like mm-hmm. all the time. Like he's about to have one coming up, like a show with Playboi Carti, like only for DC, you know.
That's lit.
So yeah, I don't know. Every time I always talk about like I did talk about Wale when I was there, like yeah, people didn't really mm-hmm. like I don't care about Wale. I'm like, dang, okay. Sorry.
Speaking of Wale, it was brought to my attention, or not even brought to my attention, but Wale's always made it known that he was Nigerian. And I recently just watched Molly from Insecure. I forgot her actual name. What is it?
Yvonne. I can't remember her last name, but I'm pretty sure it's Yvonne.
She's Nigerian as well. Yeah. And she was kind of mentioning in her interview, like, before she was allowed to do comedy, her parents made her like get her master's.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds
like typical African parents, to be honest.
Now, what one thing I was gonna ask was like, how, you know, it's like it always amazes me because she said like, you know, they say like Nigerian. She was like, Nigerians are good at everything that they do, and she was just saying how like in growing up in her household, it was like, you know, you must do it better than, you know, the white man, better than the black man. Like, she said something like, if the black man does it, do it better. If the Asian man does it, do it this, that. Like, and it just amazes me to, like, how she's like, we're trained from a young age to not think that we're better than other people, but to have, like, a higher standard in everything that they do. So recently, like, I've just been, you know, having debates with my friends and my homies and stuff, and it's just like, even Donald Glover was like, nah, like we can't just call ourselves like king and queen. Like we have to like, you know, represent that on a daily basis to like how we carry ourselves. He said that in like a Breakfast Club interview. But I just want to get y'all thoughts on just like what, you know, it's like, how do you adapt that kind of mindset? You know what I'm saying? Like where it's like, nah, like I'm gonna hold myself to a higher accountability, and I'm gonna hold myself to this like high standard, and I'm only gonna pursue for like just straight just excellence, you know.
Yeah,
like wrong, like you could touch on that, you know.
Yeah, so I come from an African household too, and one of the things is, so a lot of us are immigrants, right? Oh my bad, I pushed the whole thing. So a lot of us is immigrants, and you know, like growing up in the third world country, resources are very scarce, right? Which means that, you know, some places you obviously don't have like not even the necessities, but just like even like the fresh clothes, the fresh shoes, all of that, right?
Bare necessities.
Yeah, the bare necessities. And then like, you know, like you come from poverty, you come from like a lack of opportunity, so you're competing for like the lowest position. You still got to compete for it really hard, right? So there's this survival mindset that you have, like the survival, you're in state of survival the entire time. So when you come to the US and there's so many opportunities here, like it's like a dictatorship at the household, because like your parents are like, okay, so like they still have that same survival mindset. So like even if you, they want you to be like, this is a joke that we have in the Eritrean community, that your parents want you to be either like a doctor or an engineer, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't fit those two, then you haven't, you didn't make it in life, yeah, you know? Right. And it's because, it's simple, because they just, they understand, the first thing they believe in is that nobody could take your education away from you, mm-hmm. right? So if you have a bachelor's or a master's or even a high school degree, some kind of a degree, then that's your plan B. You can always fall back on that, right? Once you decide to pursue your dreams, then at least you have plan B done. But more importantly, is that they want to attain, you know, a higher position in life, to where your kids won't have to struggle as much as you did. And their kids would have even a better chance of survival. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's like the main like reason to why everything, like I remember, man, like our parents taught us like how to cook and clean and do all of that by the age of like 6, 7. You know what I'm saying? Like we were running household meetings every week by the age of 8. Like we did the grocery list. We knew how much the bills was, the difference in the bills. Like all of these crazy life skills that adults lack, we had at a very young age, you know? And that was strictly as a survival thing. And so like, I think that, and you know, I can't speak for Nigerians, but I also believe that they come from similar backgrounds and similar history. And I think that a lot of them also push for that standard in life. But the culture teaches you how to treat your neighbor better and how to hold people above you, you know, like, and so that's where the piece that you don't think you're better than other people, right? Because when I see people, I still lower my head and I still greet them and I hold them to a higher standard than I do myself. And that's just like a culture. That's mm-hmm. where the culture piece comes in.
Dang. Like, it's just like I've had like, and it might just be like, because I grew up like in my neighborhood, my neighbors were from the Caribbean,
mm-hmm.
my other neighbors were from Kenya,
mm-hmm.
so I was always like I grew up pretty much like I was always at my homies who were Kenyan, like their household,
yeah,
and their dad would just like, I remember like I was like hey man, you trying to play basketball this summer? And their dad would have them like doing math, like homework, like in the summer,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's just like, you kind of, it's like there was this situation of just like, whether if it was home cooked meals, like, you know, this like family, like kind of structure, like of education being high. It wasn't like, you know, even my friends who are Nigerian, like it's not like they're, you know, they raise themselves to a higher quality, but it's kind of like they always, and it goes back to like Black Panther, but it was like, they always kind of treated themselves like at a higher rate, you know. Like I think at times, like me and my friends, we would kind of like, you know, get involved with some dumb stuff. But my homie Osa, he was always the one that just literally like he held himself to a higher standard,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it's just like, you know, eventually, like, you know, over time, like I learned from him and I caught up to him, where it was like, nah, like, me and him were like, you know, neck and neck. But it was just like, man, like you just notice those small little things, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And also like another thing is too, like right now, like it's no longer about me, right? There's family back home. Like a lot of people when they come here, they still have like these networks and people back home. And like you need everybody in your family to be successful, because you got to carry on like a huge family back home, you mm-hmm. know? And so like a lot of the times it's like, you know, like that the routine should always be the same. You want your kids to be better than you. And like that was my parents. Like they worked like these hard jobs. They still do till today. They haven't stopped, even though we all are like college educated and they still want to do it, right? But the idea is, like, they wanted life for us to be way easier than them. So, like, when we were kids, man, it was the same thing. Summertime, my friends be outside playing. I'm over here, like, literally, because my handwriting was so ugly, my dad would have me copy pages of just handwriting, right? And it was just like, you're going to need that later. Because it's like, you come here, you don't understand the language, you don't understand the systems here. And so they're like, you're coming from behind, basically. And so, like, they made me work so hard just because they've always felt that I was behind because I wasn't born and raised here. Mm. You see what I'm saying? When they see my friends, they always thought, oh, they got it, they're good. But when they saw me, they're always like, no, you see what I'm saying? So they had this chip on their shoulder for me to be a better person, right?
Yeah. Like, man, I'm gonna let bro. Victor, I'm so sorry. I'm gonna have to do this to you again. Good. Dale, I'm gonna go ahead and let you do your thing, and then we'll get back into it.
Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt this really fascinating conversation. This is what you get here on KBOO, 877-500-5266. This is the number to call to. You know, really show your love for KBOO, but if you are also, you know, amazed by the kind of testimony you get to hear on the KBOO airwaves, if your experience is very similar or completely different from Aron, Tevin, Jelen, and Victor here tonight, please let us know. We want to find out from you why you're listening to KBOO, why do you support KBOO, why you're a part of our community. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Oh, you can also go online to kboo.fm and make your donation this way. Also, maybe your mobile phone has an app, a KBOO app that you have been using to listen to your favorite program, because all of it is on demand on the app. And maybe you also would like to come and meet us here at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We'll be more than happy to introduce you to the Combined Culture Radio crew and show you around our beautiful building. We've been here in this building for 35 years, but KBOO has been around for 50 years, and it's only because of you folks. It's only because of Jim from Southeast Portland, who donated on the web, and Ben, who renewed all the way from Salem. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Jim, for showing your love and appreciation for KBOO. We are doing all of this together, folks. This is what we do. We take a small amount of money that all of us are able to contribute. I am giving about 1 hour wage back to KBOO, because KBOO is also paying my wage right now. But think about it. You are making whatever it is that you are making an hour. Maybe you can donate this amount per month. Just 1 hour of your wage per month to KBOO. And that would help sustain us. We know it's coming. It's a small amount that's coming on a regular basis every month. And this is how we keep KBOO sustained. This is how we keep it going. It's been happening for over 50 years. It's over 5,000 of us that make it happen in this way through our small financial contributions. Now it's your turn to come and add your small financial contributions to this whole stack so that we can keep it going forever. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Again, that's 877-500-5266. And folks, there are only 4 days left in this fall membership drive. So now is your time to call 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm. We are still $30,000 away from meeting our goal. We're trying to raise $93,500 this fall. And with your support right now, we can do it. We've made it happen for 50 years. We can continue to do it. Call right now, 877-500-5266. These are your airwaves, folks. We need to claim them so we can amplify your voice. We can amplify my voice. We can amplify the voice of Tevin and Aron and Jalen and Victor and all of the Combined Culture Radio folks who come here on a weekly basis to help share their insight into this world. 877 877- 800-500-5266 is the number to call right now. We are claiming those airwaves for you folks. You know, radio was created as a medium for us, the people, to be able to use for free and to inform ourselves. Well, guess what? It's not like this really anywhere. Every time you tune into the radio station, folks are making lots of money. Corporations are making money from you listening. They're selling you advertisements and all kinds of other things. Not on KBOO. KBOO is independent, 100% independent. Guess why, folks? Because of you. You keep us independent. We are only independent because all of us come together in small amounts to make this happen. And this is why here on KBOO, you get the best content. You get the best insight inside the head of all of your neighbors, your community members. That's who we are. We all live here in the Portland metro area, and you hold this area dear to your heart. That is why you're listening. You might be located right here in Portland. You might be somewhere else on the globe. And it doesn't matter where you are, because you love KBOO. You love community radio. And this is now your time to call and pledge your support. 877-500-5266. We are looking for you to make a small donation. Again, how much are you making per hour? Would you donate this to KBOO? You can donate it on a monthly basis, but if you can only donate it one time, we would take it. If you have $5 and you can only give it one time, we would take it, because all added to another $5, another $5, another $5, it all makes it work. 877-500-5266 is the number to call to claim the airwave, folks. It is time for us to take this over. 877-500-5266. Without you, we cannot do it. Again, just like Ben and Jim, please call us and show your love and support. We're going back to Combat Culture Radio, and we are waiting right here for your call. 877-500-5266. Call now.
And we are back. So, I just wanted to make a comment to what Aron was saying. It's funny to me how, you know, whether it's like African parents or like Caribbean parents, I feel like they kind of all hold that same, bro, like mentality.
Yeah.
Or at least like the parents do. And like Americans, we look at them like, dang, your parents crazy, bro. Like, yo, you know, and like to them, it's like, no, this is regular.
This is
like
normal, this, yeah.
Right. There's nothing crazy about it. And like, I know when I was younger, like my neighbors right across the street from me, they're Nigerian, and there was five of them. Uh-huh. And
the one in your newest neighborhood, or the one in Park?
No, in my old neighborhood, like Northeast.
Was it Rex's family?
Huh?
Was it Rex's family?
No. Yeah, like I would always go over there and just like kick it with them, because it's a big family, and like my family is small. It was just me and my two sisters. And like that was one, it was like what, three brothers over there. So it was nice to like be around more boys, because I was always around girls. And we all had the same interests, and it would be like the oldest sister's cooking. One of the sisters is helping tutor the youngest brother. And like, to me, I'm like, this is great. Like, where's y'all parents?
Yeah.
Why y'all's parents ain't doing this? You know, but then like the dad would be gone almost all day because he at work. The mom, she would be taking care of like the youngest daughter, you know. So it's kind of like everybody else, they either got to pick up the slack or, you know, pretty much just do whatever to help around the house. Like nobody is being lazy. You know, there's no, you don't be lazy in that type of household. And so like I would see that and just like my mind was blown, because I'm like 8 years old, and I mean, like by that time my sister was already in high school, so she was like more, you know, doing her own thing, and I was almost like a single or like an only child. So like I didn't really get to see or like experience all that until like I would go over their house, and I'm just like, this is crazy. Like
ain't that a trip when you're like, bruh, like you just realize, like it's just, it blows your mind when you're so young and you notice like differences just in like households, like,
right,
like bruh, like I'm telling you, bruh, I was like you were saying, it was like, bruh, I would notice just certain like things, like they would cook dinner and like the whole family would just come around and mm-hmm. eat dinner together. Like it's just like certain small like foundational things You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, and it was... And I know this is going to sound, like, not even super bad, but, bro, like, their dad, every time he would see, like, orange, like, frozen orange juice on sale at Safeway, he would just stack up and buy a ton of them, bro. Like, frozen orange juice. You know the
kind, the ones you melt?
Yeah,
yeah. Used to get those, too.
Like add the water, too.
Yeah, you just add the water. Every time I would go to their house, it would be a stack of them, like, in the house, bro.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, bro, why is your... He's like, bro, every time my dad goes, like, Safeway, and he sees a bunch of them, he just grabs them.
And it was only, like, 99 cents, too. Yeah, so it's like, why not?
It's affordable, you know? Right,
yeah.
But that's what it is, bro. Like, even when I look back, you know, and like, let's say when we moved to the U.S., you know, like, I think the difference between there and here is, like, over there, everybody's on the same schedule, right? And it's like, you go to work in the morning, you come home for lunch. You eat lunch with your family. You have the, I don't know, you guys call it siesta here, where you get, hour or two, you know, or in Europe, I guess they do it. But, like, where you get, like, a couple of hours to relax, and then you go back to work, and you finish. So my dad used to come home until about 4 o'clock, and then he go back to work until 9. And so, like, you know, we were able to, like, wake up, they're there, we eat breakfast, everybody goes to work, school, whatever, we come home, he comes home, we eat lunch, then, like, we, if we had to go to after school activities, like the extra school, we go. If we had to, like, you know, go study, we went and studied, right? Like, everybody had a job. But, like, when we moved over here, the schedule is different, you know, and, like, the demand of, like, you know, for people to make enough income and, like, you know, to afford places here. And then there's cars and insurance and, you know, like, so many different bills that people have to pay that, you know, like, it just, it makes it so hard to have even that family time. We had to, like, literally, like, either intentionally eat dinner together or, like, intentionally during the weekends we would have dinner together, because we couldn't do that anymore when we came here. Like, to have 3 meals together every day, that was impossible.
Well, bro, not only that, the family functions be, like, huge, bro. Like, bro, I would be at my crib, and you would know, like, when they had a party, because they would have literally, like, cars all the way, like, coming up. Like, literally, it would be, like, sounds going like on to, like, you know, they would have the whole family, like, sleep over for the night, and it's just like,
and it's an all day festivity. It's like, not, like,
yeah, would it happen the same thing with your when you grew up across the street? Like, would they have family functions and stuff?
Yeah, that's how it is here.
And I mean, like, that's just how they do it. It's kind of like a go big or go home. But, like, another thing that I feel like that's different as far as our cultures go. They're more family oriented.
Yeah.
Like, family always comes first, and, like, there may be internal conflicts with family, but I feel like regardless of the matter, they'll still, like, be together. It's like blood is blood.
Yeah.
And I feel like with American culture, there may be some internal conflict, and then it's kind of like everybody just separates. And it's kind of like they just give up, or, you know, like, I've just always seen, like, every like, African friend that I've had, or every Caribbean friend that I've had, I feel like they've just always been family first. And I've experienced, like, multiple you know, ethnicity.
Let's talk about that real quick. Like, why would we say, like, the whole family orientation has kind of, like, disappeared or faded away in the States?
I think it's work, bro. Everybody here is focused on is so-called, like,
materialism,
the,
and
it's materialism. It's the, and that's the one thing I'll give. Like,
what do you think about, like, divorces and stuff like that, though? And in terms of, like, holding a family together,
I think
that's just a symptom of, like, putting work first and stuff like that.
I think, bro, like, honestly, and if Michaela's listening, like, she's always saying, like, you know, her values are, you know, similar to one of a Hispanic family, where it's like, you know, you eat good food, you're all about family, and you're, you know, it's not necessarily about work. And I think, bro, like, I think in America, like, we're trained to where it's like, you know, it's like, you know, the American dream, where you want to make, like, six figures or whatever, to the point where it's like, yo, bro, like, Victor, you know, he's a rapper, he's like, yo, I gotta make it to the top. Like, you know, whether that costs, like, relationships or work, I'm gonna put in the hours necessarily. You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, like, I even have to work on it. It's like, I at times don't even think like, oh, like let me think about like my mom and my dad and my sister and you know, when I go back home, like obviously I see family, but it's like that's your core, where sometimes in your head you're like, oh bro, like I'm just focused on making the next move and the next dollar, like. And I think it's just, I don't know, like maybe it's like how you're raised or whatever, but I definitely think it's definitely money has a huge impact on, like, America was based off of money, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it's like, yeah. Just to piggyback off of Tevin too, and you said it earlier, right? There, I think there's a correlation between this idea. So like we talked about how me as an African person, I value family, right? Yeah. My dad, like a lot of us were separated due to wars or whatever, but now like they're finding each other and making all these reconnections. Now, you know, they say it takes a village to raise a child, yeah. Right? It also takes a village to maintain a relationship, right? Because think about it this way. As a young person trying to start your life, you have to, you know what I'm saying, pay for a wedding, the ring. Like, you got to secure a home, right? If you're going to start a young family, like, you know, once you have kids, it's very hard to do it all on your own. And today, like, in America today, it's expensive, you know? Yeah. And so, imagine if you have, you know, like, 14, 15 different, like, uncles and aunties who have, you know, another set of probably, like, 7, 8 kids each, and you know, like within the family alone, like if you need childcare sometimes, hey, like these little things that big family takes care of and supports you with, it's basically having that extra support system, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't have that today.
So, yeah, that's true. And the thing is, I mean, to cut you off, Tevin, but like the thing is that like that's a very expensive like replacement that's actually for free. Yeah And it's crazy thing about, because a lot of people nowadays, like if you don't have that support system, you got to pay for that, and for people who you can't really trust.
Exactly. And it's financial,
and it's
right?
financial.
You said it too, you know, Tevin, but yeah, go ahead.
So sorry, I know you, and that's some. One thing, I was at my homie's house in LA, and his mom was saying, like, you know, the difference between, you know, Hispanic families and white families, mm-hmm. is like, you know, they'll, you know, kick their kids out at like 18. And it's like, hey, you're on your own. Whereas like in Hispanic culture, it's like, nah, like you can stay here as long as you want.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like it is like, is that the same thing in like African culture, where it's like, nah, like, you know, you'll see people come back from after college and it's like, nah, like get everything situated, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because, bro, like, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, my neighbors are, I think, bro, they're way older. They're like, and I think some of them are like, you know, are still living at home. Like, and I know the Bay Area is like super expensive, so I understand, but it's like, let me, you know, stack my money and all that. But I feel like there's also just such a difference in like maybe thinking where it's like, but the families are cool with it. It's like, nah, like, you know, you're bettering yourself in the long run by saving all this money. But I also feel like there's a lack of like, I don't know, like maybe independence, like where it's like maybe you're independent when you're like really, bro, really
perfect,
ready.
Perfect segue. I was just going to say a huge, like I just thought of this while you were talking, a huge, huge, huge thing I think that contributes to this is we live in a very individualistic society where people are encouraged to, you know, express themselves and become their own individual, which, you know, is a good thing. I definitely am fully invested in, like, you know, being your own person and making decisions based off your own intuition. Mm-hmm. But I mean, along with comes that is like, if you are yourself trying to be an individual, and that goes against, you know, your family values that you were raised in, or there's some type of clash on any type of level, a lot of people find that hard to work through. And I bet you might be able to speak to this. Like, there's probably certain things that, like, if you decided to do, like, there's a line. Like, I feel like every family has a line where you will get the boot, like, straight up. Like, you will get the boot. And so I feel like that's definitely a lot of what has contributed to, like, the denuclearization of the family, you know, and people being more spread out. And people, I mean, it's different. I mean, people are finding families just from people, you know, like you could simulate a similar thing just by like a gathering of friends, or like,
yeah,
maybe through,
yeah,
like a church. But like, you know, that's my perspective on it, is like, yeah, just being an individualistic society versus,
yeah, like, yeah, going, like touch on that, bro. It's like, you know, like, where there's families where it's like, nah, like, you could stay here as long as you want, you know, like, even, yeah, even if they're you could be married and have a kid and still live.
Oh yeah, like my dad now, like, so I remember when we first bought our house in 08, my dad walked around the block and he was looking at other properties for sale, and I was like, Pop, like, do you not like the house we got? And he's like, no, but, you know, like, my vision is for you to live down here, like, your brother to live, yeah, there, like, I want all scared of y'all, yeah, like, but he's the type of person where he was just like, man, look, because I had this point of clash when I, like, decided to move to Portland.
Okay.
I felt this guilt because I wanted to stay home and support home too.
Yeah.
But my dad was,
yeah,
like, look, man, like, you'll always have home. This is your base. This is your brother's base, your sister, and your other brother back at home, right? But the idea is that I want you to go out there. I want you to fail. I want you to learn from your life mistakes.
It's like Pride, right? Rock.
Yeah, but he's like, but this is your house. If you ever need anything, you know you have a back. You know, like, you have a net. You,
yeah,
you have a place to call home, right? Mm-hmm. And just knowing that, like, that you know, that support of, hey, like, go out there and grow, but just remember you have a family.
Yeah.
You know you have your culture.
Prodigal son type stuff.
Yeah, and he was just like, bro, like, either way. Yeah, and that gave me the confidence, right?
For sure.
That gave me the confidence. So, you know.
Dang, man. God, that was a good discussion. And I feel like we're just now... I might have to let Dale jump into it, man. But that's it. All right. Yeah. We'll have to continue talking about this, like, you know, for the 10 minutes after the show. But, I mean, yeah, we're going to let it wrap up. Dale's going to go ahead and close it out. You know, you guys got any last words to say?
Can I start real quick? Shout out to Combined Culture Radio for giving me the chance to be here again.
Hey, we out here,
hey. You know, and I would love to invite y'all. This time I'm gonna be there. My next show is on the 3rd. On the 3rd, the same time. Keeping it real, and we can have more conversations like this. It'd be a real honor for y'all, or for me, if y'all will be there.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. For sure.
Thank you.
Real quick, I just wanted to mention, next Thursday, I am performing at Mic Check. It is a quarterly event. Used to be a monthly event, now quarterly, every last Thursday of the quarter. Mic Check is the event at White Eagle Saloon. Doors open at 8. Mike Capes and Fontaine will also be performing. White Eagle Saloon, doors open at 8, and it's $8 for entry. Hope y'all can make it and see your boy Kobe. And this has been Combined Culture Radio. 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. Doors open at 8. Dell, you can take it away. But before she could leave, I walked over and said hello. I said hello. Say, baby.
And you are listening to your community radio station. This is Combined Culture Radio. 877-500-5266 is the number for you to call right now. We have another $30,000 to go before the end of this drive. Only 4 days left. Actually, this one day is kind of like... coming to a close, folks. So if today was your day to donate, if you were looking actually to become a member and get entered for a chance to win 12 bottles of wine, 3 varieties of Pinot from St. Joseph Winery, then now it's your time. Right now to call 877-500-5266. If you would like to get entered for a chance to win 12 bottles of wine, 877-500-5266. Or you can go online to kboo.fm. You can only enter a chance to win those bottles today. So every folks who have donated today will be entered. If you are interested, there's only a few hours left in this day, so you might want want to step it up and get ready, 877-500-5266. Or you can go online to kboo.fm and make your donation that way. You also might have a mobile phone with an app and you can donate this way. Or you want to come and meet us here at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. And we would love to be able to show you around and show you really what your dollars pay for, introduce you to all the amazing volunteers that make radio happen. All of the folks that are on the airwaves are volunteer folks. They are community members like you and I. They're volunteers, and they get trained for free. This is what your dollars pay for. You get to invest in your other community members to learn the art, the craft of radio, so that we can bring you the best of news, the best of public affairs and information, the best of music. This is KBOO. This is your community radio station. These are your airwaves. These are our airwaves. And what we do when we support KBOO is we claim the airwaves and we amplify our voices. We amplify the voice of Combined Culture Radio, of Aron and Tevin and Jalen and Victor, who come here on a weekly basis in order to tell you what is up with culture, what is up with them, and give you that insight that you've never had before into someone's mind. 877-500-5266 is your number to call to show your love, your appreciation. And when you call, when you donate to KBOO, we have lots of ways to show our appreciation. If you donate $75 tonight, we would like to thank you with a beautiful KBOO t-shirt. We have two kind, one that has our KBOO logo and one that says Keep Portland and KBOO Radical. If you would like one of these t-shirts, and if you have $75 to give us, and maybe it is $75 that you can share right now, and maybe we can split it up in 12 small payments so you can pay a little bit every month. Anyway, you would like to donate, our volunteers are ready to help you figure it out. 877-505-2266 is the number to call right now.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast provided by Trader Joe's, a grocery chain open daily from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Lunch provided by Corbett Fish House, located at 5901 Southwest Corbett Avenue. Corbett Fish House serves seafood dishes, open from lunch to dinner. Dinner provided by Bocce's on 7th, located at 1728 Southeast 7th Avenue, open Wednesday through Sunday from 4 to 9. Bocce's serves a full Italian menu. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring a news and public affairs director to manage the evening news and public affairs programming and to train and supervise volunteers. For this full-time position, we're looking for someone with proven experience in news and public affairs production, management and supervisory skills with volunteers with emphasis on teamwork in a collaborative setting, and ability to work under strict deadlines. KBOO Community Radio is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer. Women and people of color are encouraged to apply. Deadline to apply.